if it's easy for you to get on your feet, then please stand on your feet and reach out to my friend Colin. I say my friend, I know he's your friend as well. And just as I was asked to pray, Colin, I felt that scripture come to my heart. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that this year would be a year when Colin would really understand that, Lord God, in a much more deeper and personal way, Father God, that you would just give him your yoke, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the yoke of understanding, Lord God, of all that your word says, all that your spirit is saying. And Father God, you make it easy for him to enjoy, Lord God, this season, Father, this year, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessing upon him. Lord God, we pray joy upon him, Lord God, in great measure. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would attune our hearts and our ears, Lord God, to hear the word that you've given to Colin for us today. So, Father, we thank you for Colin. Lord, we pray your blessing upon him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Tom. Bless you.
The Lord is here. And he's here to minister good things to our hearts, to minister freedom. I love that song. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the hope you're bringing to us today. You know, one of the things that really profoundly hit me when I was praying what to bring you guys, which is about mainly about peace, and I'm probably going to, it was about love and peace, but I'm going to shorten it just to peace. But one of the most profound things that the Lord showed me was my brother, Mark. You've met him. Some of you have met him. But he's a picture for you, I think, in this season. For some of you, anyway. Because my brother, Mark, became a Christian 24, 25 years ago, maybe 26 years ago, as a result of a motorcycle accident in Slough. And his body was broken to the point where he nearly died. And he was unconscious for 4 days. And, he woke up in hospital next to a born-again Christian, a guy called Paul Saw from King's Church in Slough. And so he couldn't escape. Ordinarily, you know, us Barnes boys would have run a mile. But he couldn't escape. And so he had this guy telling him about the goodness of God for 3 months. And everybody that came in to visit this guy also thought it was their God-given opportunity as someone who can't run away to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And so my brother got quite a lot of that. And this guy followed him when he came out of hospital. This guy went to visit him in Southampton, took him to church. And long story short, my brother became a Christian 6 months later. But his body was still broken. His body was still broken. And I remember going to his baptism and weeping my eyes out. And I wasn't a Christian at the time. Although I'd asked Jesus into my life at that point. You know, these things are a bit grey, aren't they? I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't following Jesus. I wasn't living a Christian life, even though I had an experience, an encounter with Jesus. And my brother stood up before the congregation to say why he was getting baptized. And he said words like these. When you look at what's standing before you today, you might see a cripple. And there's his withered arm, his leg all in irons. Said he wouldn't walk properly again, now he climbs mountains. But he said, you know, when you look before you today, you might see a cripple. And he said, I want you to know that I was more of a cripple a year ago before I had my accident than I am today. And I wept. And I absolutely wept because I knew it was true. You see, I knew my brother. You know, when you grow up in a family, you know each other, don't you? There's nowhere to hide. You see each other. And you see the good things, you see the bad things. You see the treasure, but you see also the clay. And you know, I'd seen the world beat my brother up and spit him out. I saw my brother with a massive heart, the biggest heart anybody had. But because you've got a big heart, when you're a kid, people take advantage of you. And he was taken advantage of again and again and again. Again and again and again. And to the point where he got so hardened he used to fight back. And then he became a bully. So I saw this was true. He was more of a cripple before he met Jesus, before he fell in love with Jesus, that he was standing there broken in his body. And you know, within a few months, he was out on the street preaching and going around with Billy Kennedy, who now leads Pioneer, actually. And they were going around in evangelistic teams, just trying to share the love of Jesus in different towns and doing short kind of outreaches. And at one place, he told me a story. He went to a place where there was a lot of youngsters around about who were making fun of them. And there was a gang of boys that would come and, you know, just taunt them and jeer at them. And the leader of this gang talked to my brother. He has a knack of talking to anybody. And so he got talking to this gang leader. And this gang leader said, "Oh, look at my knuckles. They're all broken and bruised up from this fight I had the night before." And he said, "It's real painful. And they're all swollen and broken." And my brother said to him, "I don't know what will happen," he said, "but I would really like to pray for you because I believe there's a God in heaven who heals, who cares enough to heal you." This is a man who's only just become a Christian a few months ago, and look at his body. He's saying, "I believe there's a God in heaven who heals," and his body is broken. Can you see that? My brother standing there on the street with this big, brutish gang leader, and he's saying, "My God heals." And you think you're having a laugh. But he said it in such a way that the guy said, "Okay, well, pray for me then." And he prayed for him, and that guy's knuckles were instantly healed. Instantly healed. And you think, why? Don't you? Why? That doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. It kind of flies against our whole ideas of justice. You know, why should he get healed and my brother stand there broken? My brother's arm is still with it to this day. Why? 26 years on. Why? That's a mystery. It's the mystery of the battle. It's the mystery of the fight. And in war, there's a lot of things that shouldn't happen that happen. It's not in the heart of God. That wasn't planned or ordained, but it's part of the warfare that's going on. But the thing I want to get over to you guys is, you know, just that picture that I had of my brother broken like that, but actually offering mendedness and actually offering to pray for someone else who was broken and actually seeing God fulfill their request. And one of the things that the Lord really said, you know, is to me, is for you guys, is to accept that. And not to look at brokenness in yourselves, actually, if there is any. Not to worry about that to a certain extent, but actually just to offer the peace that you know that God is willing to bring to people. So that's the picture for the background of this very short talkette. Because really, in reality, no matter how together and mended we look on the outside, we're all a bit broken, aren't we? Even despite having received Jesus, and despite, you know, it's not a black and white thing, is it? We weren't totally broken before, we're not totally mended now. We're in that process. I know it disagrees with some people's theology, but for me it's just plain, it's a plain nose of my face. It's evident that our God likes the journey. He likes us to go through processes. He doesn't wave magic wands too often to take us from where we are now to get us to where he wants us to be. And I'm glad of that because I love the journeys. You know, I love the climb up the mountain as much as the view from the top. And the view from the top is nowhere near as exciting when you've flown up, let me tell you right now. I've flown over the tops of the Himalayas. I've flown within a couple of miles of Everest. And the view was okay, fine. I walked 9 days from Jiri, a small town, up into the Solokumbu, getting gradually higher and higher as the days went by. And at the end, I saw a glimpse of Everest about 12 miles away. And I thought, wow, that's spectacular. And Amitabham was just there on the right. Just fantastic. But you know, there's something about the journey which made me appreciate things a whole lot more. Anyway, I haven't got time to go wax lyrical about mountains. So that's the picture. I think that picture will help, actually. It'll almost do instead of the talk. But the talk was inspired by two songs of John Lennon, really, Love and Peace. And one where he says, "All you need is love," because these are the things that God has asked me to do ever since taking on leadership, is to continually remind people it's all about love. And you know, you're probably sick of hearing me say it's all about love, but I'm not going to stop saying it because it's true until every person is saying it back to me all the time, until we're all living it. It's all about love. From first to last, it's all about love. So all you need is love. It's the first song. All you need is love. Wah, 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 wah. All you need is love. It's true. The second song is not so good. You know, it says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. And I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's depressing. It's depressing. Oh, it removes my hope. It removes totally all my hope. You see, I've got to shorten this talk down quite a bit. See, the Bible tells us that one day all broken things in our world will be mended. It's just the truth. One day all the broken things will be mended. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Behold, I make all things new, he says in Revelation 21. And if we're honest, we all want to live in a world which is more like that than the current one, where we're faced with too much pain, too many things that knock us, that damage us, that break us, like my brother. There was once a guy, turn to Luke 10. We're going to quickly look at a couple of scriptures. There was once a guy who wanted to live in a world like that. Verse 25 to 28. So he came to Jesus. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to get into this life, this perfect life? This life that goes on forever and ever without any pain, without any tears, without any death, without any sorrow. And he said to him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? What's your reading of it? And you know, that's a really important thing to do when people ask us questions, isn't it? It's not just to answer them. That's one thing that's drummed into you on Alpha. I led Alpha for 10 years. It's one thing that's drummed into you. Don't answer people's questions. And you know the reason why? Because if someone's told something, it goes in one ear and out the other. Often. It's like being flown to the top of the mountain. You don't value it as much. But when you've searched for it yourself, and when you've come to a conclusion yourself, you value it a whole lot more. And often, we don't really know what we think. I don't know about you, but often when you're about a subject, you don't know what you think until you have to articulate it into words. Words have a really uncanny way of crystallizing down our thoughts and helping us to make sense of some fuzzy things that we hold out there somewhere, some vague concepts. We have to try and bring them down into words. And to help people to do that is really good. It helps people to understand what they think. So Jesus said, what do you think? And the guy says, oh, okay. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. There you have it. It's all about love. Love God and love people. Simple as that. It really is that simple, and you will inherit eternal life. Very easy. And everybody agrees that to love other people is the best way to live. Everybody understands that. John Lennon understood that. All you need is love. The whole world knows that love is the most beautiful thing. It's why so many songs are written, so many films are made, so many stories are written about it. But I won't talk about that just now. It says, it starts with love God. Why love God? Why love God? Why is that first? Well, it's obvious, isn't it, really, in a way? Because when we know what to do, it's not enough, is it? If we know the right thing to do, it's just not enough. If we know where to love people, it doesn't make it any easier to actually do that thing. We need a change going on the inside. If we're really to live the way we want to be, if we really become the men and women we long to be, we need a change on the inside. And that change only comes about, really, as we worship something much higher than ourselves, as we really give ourselves to something much higher than ourselves. And God is love. When we worship him, we become more like him. If we fall in love with Jesus, we start to do crazy things. That's what draws us away from the things we shouldn't do, away from the ways of seeing things which are harmful, away from the doing things which are harmful, and draws us into doing things which are fantastic, like going out onto the streets of Wickham and giving clothes and speaking to the poor and needy. And it's not enough to know that's a good thing. You do it because you love Jesus. I know that's why you do it, John. It's the motive of our heart. It's the thing which changes us is the love of God, and that's why it's so important. And love is really important too. Sometimes all that people need is a little hug. All that they need is a cup of coffee with a friend and a chat. Sometimes all we need is a meal together. Sometimes all we need is someone to listen and say, I understand. Sometimes all we need is someone to put their arm around us. And all of a sudden, everything seems much better. That little bit of love is enough, isn't it? Sometimes. And then sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes it needs more. Sometimes we cry out and say, God, help. You know, in our own situations, we cry out and say, it's not enough. We need a bit more than just a little bit of love from our friends. It helps a lot, but it's just not enough. And that's where, if you go back to the earlier part of that chapter, Jesus sends out 70 of his followers into the towns ahead of him. And he says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then go. Become the answer to your prayers. Go your way. Go. Behold, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves, carrying neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And that's the more that he gives us. Because, you know, when we go to people and we meet with people that are broken, that are in pain, that are hurting, often they need more than a little hug, more than a bit of love. They need a breakthrough. Like we were praying this morning for breakthrough for people. We need a touch from heaven. And as people that are the dwelling place of the Spirit, as people that carry the Spirit of Jesus, we are that. We're the laborers that he was asking us to pray to be sent out. Jesus empowers us to be more than just lovers, to be healers, to release peace into the lives of those that we meet. And to do that, like my brother, we don't have to be completely whole. So however we might view ourselves, whatever issues we face in our own lives, they don't disqualify us from releasing our peace into the lives of others. That's good news. That's good news. And that peace is really, really powerful. It's not a weak thing. The peace that Jesus gives us to release into the lives of others is like the peace that he said when he calmed the storm, peace be still. When we speak the words of peace, when we release our peace into the lives of those around us, actually we release the power of heaven to still the storms. We release life, we release freedom, we release healing all in the name of Jesus. Not because we're whole and because we're perfect, but just because we carry a bit of treasure in us and God is faithful to hear our prayers and to deliver, to back up his word. So that may sound far-fetched to some, but it's absolutely true. And it's something, you know, as I say, I've witnessed since my early days, since before I was really, really a Christian, when my brother told me those stories. I discovered the same thing when I became a Christian. Immediately started praying for people and seeing God do miracles. God do amazing things in people's lives. I remember setting up a Bible study at my workplace in Slough, and after a few weeks, a driving instructor came along who wasn't working there, and he wanted to just come and be with us and learn about Jesus. And then one day he comes in looking terrible and saying, I haven't slept for weeks. I'm in pain, constant pain, on so many drugs. And it's not good, is it, if you're a driving instructor, you can't sleep. But I was a new Christian, I didn't know what to do, but we said, no, we believe God heals, let's pray for you. We prayed for him. And nothing appeared to happen, but we sent him away. The next week he comes back beaming from ear to ear and saying, it worked, he said. Ever since you prayed for me, I haven't had any problem sleeping. In fact, I've had the opposite, it's true. I can't hardly stay awake. We just released a bit of peace into his life. Like my brother praying for the guy with the broken knuckles. He released the peace that he had in Christ into that guy's life, and it healed his knuckles. In that same church, after I'd been a Christian just a month, I met a couple called Mick and Sue Cody. I think Simon will remember them. Who were heroin addicts themselves, but also drug barons. And Mick was a local, well-known gangster and terrifying chap to look at. Gentle as a lamb once he became a Christian, but terrifying to look at, and had a fearsome reputation. And our pastor at the time was a guy called Michael Hastings, who's now Lord Hastings. But he went to go and see them, and he got the whole church praying because he was terrified of going to meet these guys. But he went. He went to see them because he believed he could take the peace of Jesus into their lives. And he prayed for them. He chatted to them and he prayed for them. And they gave up their £100-a-day heroin addiction overnight. No cold turkey, no slowly coming off, no rehab instantly. Because the peace of Jesus was released into that storm and it was calmed. Many of you know, because I was part of this congregation when Sadie and I were struggling to conceive. And you know how we had opportunities to pray for non-Christian friends of ours who were from university days, both on my side and on Sadie's side, and had the amazing privilege of seeing them conceive and give birth to healthy babies out of terrible situations. And eventually how we got our own children too. It's just, the power of prayer is amazing. We have such a privilege to be able to pray and release our peace over people. And if we're going to make New Year's resolutions, you know, in this time, in this season, I want us all to make that a resolution. You know, I talked at the River Together the other week about three things I want us all to be looking at, looking on the face of Christ. That's loving God. That's seeking the presence. That's dwelling in his presence. Loving everyone we meet. Because it is all about love. If God is love, the goal of creation is love, he wants us to be lovers first and foremost. That's the fruit he's looking for in our lives. And if we're loving everybody we meet, we're going to be the most attractive people on the planet. But also living like heaven is near. Living like we believe that Jesus, what Jesus said is true here. Living like we actually believe it, that Jesus has sent Keith to his workplace, sent him out to live in Marlow Bottom, and actually says, Keith, wherever you live, wherever you go, tell people the kingdom of heaven is near. Live like it. Believe it. Let's act like we believe that Jesus, what Jesus said is true, that we can release his peace into people's lives. And make a resolution today. Let's make a resolution. New Year's resolutions aren't very in vogue these days, are they? Because we keep breaking them. But let's make some. Let's actually really together seek the Lord about how we can Seek his face. What opportunities am I going to take on this year? What spaces am I going to create to gaze on the face of Christ this year? What new ways am I going to come up with for inspiring my spirit, for feasting on the word of God, for really growing in my love for my Lord? Let's make resolutions to love one another, which starts with our husbands and wives. Make a resolution to love one another, to give them their heart's desire, to lay down our own desires and to serve one another in the home. I love our neighbours, love our colleagues. And let's make a resolution to release the peace of the Lord whenever we can. You know, I firmly believe, guys, if we do this, we will see revival. I really believe we will impact our towns and we will see a massive impact on people's lives, our families, our neighbourhoods. Can you see it? Can you see it? You know, just recently, I've had continuing opportunities to pray. Healing on the streets, I love to do, just like Why Come. It's good to be taking the love of Jesus out onto the streets in different ways. And before Christmas, we had some great opportunities to pray for folk again. At the end of our Santa's on the street time, which is manic, we had 50 people dressed up as Santa Claus, just blessing the town of Maidenhead. But we also had the Healing on the Streets banner alongside. So I was dressed up as Santa Claus and praying for this chap. Which is kind of weird. But this guy limped up to us, limped up to Kerry Davis with a really bad sciatica. And he was in such pain. And Kerry said, you look like you need healing. She said, come and sit down, we'll pray for you. He said, okay. As easy as that. He must have been in pain. When people are desperate, they try all sorts. So he came over and sat down, and she called me over. I wasn't supposed to be praying dressed up as Santa, but she let me off for this once. So we knelt and prayed, and we just told him how much God loved him. And we prayed for him and rebuked the pain in his legs. And we asked him how he felt. And he was a bit tearful, but he said, I feel quite a lot better. And we said, should we pray for you again? He said, no. He said, no, actually, I feel much better. And he got up, we gave him his letter, and he walked off. Without any limp. It's brilliant. We had another lady we prayed for the month before who had I think Kerry might have shared this story at the River Together, who had a pain in her face, and she was on the NHS stand doing stuff for the NHS, I think, maybe the new lottery for it, I don't know. But she was there, and she saw the healing stuff, and we got chatting to her, and Kerry and another lady prayed for her, and the pain immediately left her face. It'd been coming on since August. She'd been to the doctors about it. They didn't know what it was. They were just prescribing painkillers. And it was getting worse and worse. But the moment they prayed, it broke and she felt much better. And she then wrote to us saying maybe she could bring her son along to one of our meetings. And we said, oh, yeah, of course. That'd be lovely. She came to our Christmas meeting, our Christmas carol meeting, and brought her son, about 50. And he had a long-term back injury. She said, will you pray for him? We said, yeah, of course. We prayed for him. And immediately he stood differently. Again, his tears welled up as we told him God loved him. But the peace we released into his life immediately brought some relief to his pain. And he said, it feels so much better already. And his mum was crying again. And she said, whenever the pain starts to come back, sometimes it has come back once or twice, it's just a little bit of pain's come to my face. He said, whenever it does, he says, I just touch it and say, Jesus loves me. And it goes. Isn't that amazing? And this is what the Lord is asking us to do in these days. To live like heaven is near. To love everyone we meet. And to gaze and fall in love with Jesus every day. Bless you.